listeners, and welcome back to An Emo Girl's Guide to the Galaxy. This is a safe space for nerds, dweebs, emos, all ages. If you're nerdy, you have found your people, and we are here. So if you love sarcasm and you hate the patriarchy,
hello,
you've come to the right place. Very happy that Dev has come back from the dead to be with us today because she has been sick.
I have literally been sick for weeks because I have tummy problems, and welcome to your 30s. So
yeah.
Rude. I'm fine now. I'm out of bed. I've been rotting. I've in my bed. I've had bed rot days, but like instead of days, it's been weeks. And
oh,
I've missed
sucks.
A lot. I've been in a haze. I don't know what day it is. I, you know, but I'm fine now, and we're back.
Yay. I have no updates. I've been fine. I've been in my little corner. I read a Game of Fate by Scarlett St. Clair, which is mm-hmm. Hades POV of A Touch of Darkness. And I was worried it was going to be boring and redundant, but actually I ate that shit up. It was great. 5 stars.
So funny story. I don't know if I've ever told anybody this or like if it was a big deal, but I entered a Goodreads giveaway for like an ebook version of one of her Game of Fate. That's what's called.
Really?
Yeah. One of the books, and I don't remember which one it was, but I ended up winning, and I have an ebook of one of her Persephone books, her Hades and Persephone books, and I just haven't read them yet. But yeah. Anyway, I can catch up because I have a copy that I actually won. Like, I never win anything, and I was like, oh,
highly
God.
Recommend. Like, it's nothing like revolutionary or anything, but it's a lot of fun, and I loved it. I actually liked Hades POV more than Persephone's, and yeah. I kind of want to just read his because it's the same. I think it's the same story, but there's two series, and then she recommends you alternate. So like you read A Touch of Darkness, and then you read A Game of Fate, and then you turn go back to the other series and you read his. And it was really cool because like it touched on all of my favorite parts from the first book, but then you get to see all of the god stuff that you didn't see from her perspective because he interacts with all of the gods more. So it was really cool. Uh-huh. I liked it. And then I think the last book is coming out. The last book of the Hades and Persephone series is coming out mid next month. And I think I read that she's combining both POVs in one. So now I'm really excited because like I've read both and I'm like, now I get to watch them come together. And I'm so excited. And I'm really into it.
All right. I'll bump those up so we can talk about them. Maybe we'll have a podcast episode on Scarlett St. Clair.
I love her. Yeah, I'm ready. I also watched Lisa Frankenstein, and that was wild. That was a wild experience, if anyone was wondering. It was unhinged and very overwhelming, but also good. I don't know.
Yeah, so, it was fun.
Good luck. It was fun. But what were you going to say? I cut you off.
I was going to say that I've actually met Scarlett St. Clair when the second... What's the other series that she wrote that I was obsessed with that I can't think of the name now? The vampire.
Oh,
one.
The King of Blood and... No.
Yes. Whatever. King of... I can't think of it. King of Battle and Blood.
Thank you. I was staring at the book and I was like, I can't read it from here.
I know. I turned around and looked at my bookshelf. When Queen of Myth and Monsters came out, which I haven't read because everything's just been sitting on my shelves unread. When that came out, I drove to San Diego.
Oh, yeah. You went to an event with her, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's an emo queen. So everybody, she's really cool. And she was talking about like female rage and
how
women don't have that like protective space to be like their greatest witchy selves and being like these amazing beings, and women need to run everything and all of the research that she did that went into it, and how book two is not like book one, so she doesn't expect people to like maybe not understand the vibes, but that's what she was going for.
I was just gonna say, I haven't read the second book of King and Battle and Blood, Queen of Myth and Monsters, I think.
Yes.
I haven't read it because I'm kind of scared of it, because I know that she said it's not like, it's going to make you kind of sad and they're going to go through it. And now I'm like, I don't want them to go through it. So I'm like waiting closer till the third one comes out.
Yep. That's exactly what she said. But anyway, just a little fun fact tidbit that I had met her and she's amazing. But yeah.
Scarlett St. Clair never lets me down. Like, I've read all of her book, not all of them, but every book I've read of hers, I'm like, love it. 5 stars.
I'm excited to have time to actually read stuff. So
that novella she did, I know that you have it and you haven't read it yet. The
yes,
mountains,
I bought it.
Mountains during, Made of Glass or something?
Yes, I bought it during the Barnes & Noble sale after New Year.
Oh my God, that was so fun. I loved that so much. I can't wait for you to read it.
I can read it separately, right? Like, I don't have to have any context. It's its own
thing. Its own thing.
Okay, cool.
And there are seven, I think there are seven Fae princes. So, and I think each one is going to get its own novella. And she announced the next one is coming out, I think, this summer. I'm so excited.
I'm just adding Scarlett. Like, Scarlett St. Clair is going to be 2024, just like all of her stuff now.
Yeah.
But yeah, so today, because I've been out of it and I've been gone from the world, Loretta is going to take us through some book talk drama and like book world drama and all the tea, and we're going to talk about it. And so you will be getting my live reaction to all of this stuff, probably for the most part. And
it's going to be chaos. It's going to be a very chaotic episode.
She is going to do This Month in Books, and we're going to see how it goes because, you know.
We decided to start this segment, and I started a document that I could put stuff in, that we could put stuff in, and it's literally just been me link vomiting into this document for like a month. And all of my notes are very interesting, so let's go on this journey together.
I'm honestly very excited for you to spill the tea and to see what I've missed, so.
Me too. I don't even remember what I put in here, so.
I'm always so surprised at how far the book community can take things. Like, you think literally. We get to, like, peak craziness, and then something happens, and you're like, oh, we, okay.
I was just going to say, too, when we decided to start this segment, I was like, I don't know. Like, I must have not been on the side of book drama TikTok or book drama whatever. And so I was like, I don't know if we'll have enough content for like a whole episode. And like the first day I started looking for it on purpose, wild. It was like so overwhelming. I have a note in here and it says, I've literally been on this fucking app once. I'm getting all the flipping tea. Meaning TikTok. I was on TikTok one time and I was like, what is happening?
Honestly, sometimes I purposely skip things because it makes me not want to read. Like, it exhausts me.
It sucks the fun out of it sometimes.
Yeah, and I'm like, do y'all have to start arguments over literally everything?
Literally, I just want to read books, like, avoid reality. I don't know. How is it so dramatic all the time?
But it's also both sides. Like, sometimes I'm like, y'all start fights over literally the stupidest things. And then the other side, I'm like, y'all could have just not posted this video. Y'all could have just kept your mouth shut. Like, why y'all gotta start something?
Yeah.
And I'm but, like, next.
The first one on the list is actually something kind of fun. Like, literally the first day after we started, we decided to do this, I went on Threads and everyone was freaking out over StoryGraph. It's like everyone just discovered StoryGraph on the same day and everyone was threading about it. And they were like, oh my God, StoryGraph, it's better than Goodreads. And then it started this discourse about like Goodreads versus StoryGraph and all the pros and cons. So
I remember that day too because I couldn't log into
StoryGraph.
And
I was like, peace, I've been here for like 2 years, y'all. Welcome.
Yes. And I couldn't log into my StoryGraph. Like, I was going to log in to put whatever book I had started reading at the beginning of the year, and it wasn't working. And I remember texting you being like, can you get on StoryGraph? And you're like, no, I haven't been able to get on.
Oh, yeah. Everyone broke the app.
Yeah. And then people were getting upset. And I was like, yup. Like, they're such a small app and a small company, and you're getting mad because you didn't know about it earlier and you can't log in. Like,
I know. I want to. Okay, don't fact check me on this because I haven't looked into it because we're talking about this on the fly. But I believe it's like a team of like two people.
I don't know how big.
It's like a really tiny team. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I believe it's a Black owned business, which we love. But yeah, I like, don't get mad at that y'all discovered the app on the same day and broke it. It's not their fault. But that was fun. I got to post about my thread or my StoryGraph account, and I got some new like people to follow on StoryGraph because I had no one but outside of like you,
yeah,
following me on StoryGraph. So that was fun. Yeah,
I need to be better on StoryGraph, but I do like it better than Goodreads.
Goodreads sucks. So
yeah, there are a lot more options to keep track of your books and like what you're reading and what kind of stuff you're reading. So mm-hmm. I do like that. And I do like the review system that you do at the end of the book where it asks you like,
yeah, I love that you can review it without like writing something. You know what I mean?
Yes. It's fast paced or not. Like what emotions?
Is it diverse?
Or, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or do you like the characters? Is it plot driven? I'm like, this is the kind of information that I want.
And they
know.
Let you do half quarter and half stars. We love it.
Yep.
Goodreads has been like, I don't know. Like, I still keep up with it because I have a lot more followers on Goodreads than I do on StoryGraph, but I feel like Goodreads has been dead. And I can't figure out if that's because of me not being on there as much or if it's actually dead. I don't know. But it's been not as fun as it used to be.
Yeah. But then, anyway, everyone go download StoryGraph and add us.
Yeah. I have the link in my links and you can find Dev, I'm sure, too.
Yeah. I don't know if I have mine.
I can't say if you have your link. Yeah, I don't know. It's in mine. let's see. Some kind of Threads discourse about how authors should market their books. I went on there one time and a bunch of authors were discussing. I could tell that there was like, I couldn't really figure out where it had started, but authors were talking about marketing and how marketing has changed for their books. Mm-hmm. Over time. And I realized that I think they're talking about how like they're expected to have this whole personality online now. Like you can't just write books and do your thing. Like you have to like have people love it on TikTok and you have to like market mm-hmm. it. And I thought that was really interesting because that really sucks.
Like, I think
you can't just like love books and put it out there now. You have to like, I don't know. And I don't think they get any help from, like, if they have a publisher, I don't know how much help they get. So,
yes. And I think that this, again, I'm not an expert. Don't quote me. This is my own personal opinion. And if you disagree, cool. But I think a lot of it stems from capitalism because businesses 100%. Obviously want to make the most profits, right? And so as
they want someone media, who's going viral because that'll sell shit.
As social media progresses and as they realize that these authors could potentially market their own books and save them money, they've just been leaning into it and saying, we don't want the authors that we have to spend money on in order to get people to read their books. We want the authors who can do it themselves because we're already spending money, giving you money to purchase the rights to your book and we have to print it and we have to do all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Can we save a buck? And the first thing that gets cut is always the marketing, because at the end of the day, if that doesn't work and the book doesn't sell, they can say, sorry, your book didn't sell. We're not going to give you any more money. And then they go on to the next viral.
You didn't sell any copies, so bye.
Yeah. So is it
they
fair?
Don't,
no,
yeah. But they don't want to take a chance on, they don't want to bet on something that's not for sure.
Yeah.
But then like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And these authors can't do it all alone.
It's part of the discourse that I think a lot of influencers or just like people who talk about books online because they love reading talk about, and how influencers are expected to talk about the book and do free marketing all of the time and all they get is like an early copy instead of mm-hmm. getting paid, which,
and it's work.
It is, yeah, it's a lot of work. Like I also, it's overwhelming because a lot of the big publishing companies rely on the same big group of people who have the most following mm-hmm. and so those people probably don't even read the books, they just
say, yeah, there's, hey, too much content
and people, yeah, and so I think that the people who would do well, which are the micro influencers who don't have a lot of followers, maybe a few thousand, who are like, I actively want to read this book and review it for you,
I will promote it and actually read the content,
don't get the light of day that they need to.
It's a vicious cycle.
Do what these like early copy readers are supposed to do. And then they send out the ARCs to people who are not going to read the book. And then that doesn't work either. So it's like,
they make one video and then it's over. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, that was interesting. And I feel bad for all the authors who like didn't sign up for this. And they're like, what the F?
Like, I don't have a personality. I'm an introvert.
Yeah. I didn't sign up to be an influencer and an author. And then I wrote, this random dude mansplaining reading goals to us all on Threads. So I haven't looked at this in a while, so this will be fun. Oh my
god, I need to open it.
Oh, it's an entire thread. This man wrote this whole ass thread of threads. Setting a goal to read one book a week for a year sounds impressive, but the 52 book challenge is actually terrible for you. Here's why. Plus a better reading challenge for you. And he goes on and on and on about how, like, when you're reading too many books, you're not actually absorbing anything, and the books you're reading probably aren't quality because you're prioritizing quantity over quality, so like you're not really enriching your mind at all. And people were like, F you, I can read whatever the F I want, so yeah, please stop. And everyone jumped on him, and it was kind of satisfying to watch. So that was fun. I love
how he breaks down like each factor too. It goes, these are the four main negative incentives, and then he has a post on each one as if nobody can understand what each of those little blurbs is.
Yeah, he says quantity over quality punishes long books, forces finishing bad books, values reading over reflection or action. But then he goes on to each of those and like dives into each one unnecessarily. Yeah. Like, we don't know what it means.
Also, he says it encourages quantity over quality, which that's the correct way to say it. And then when he goes into his next little mansplain, he puts one, quality over quantity. And I'm like, okay. So you don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, what was your point? It was wild. And everyone was like, bold of you to assume that you know how I read anything. And then that I'm not enriching my mind with the books I am reading. Like, you don't know anything about me, F you.
Yeah. Also bold of you to assume that everybody has the same amount of time. Like,
yeah. People read at their own different pace, and they read what they want, and who cares?
Also, I 100% have finished an 800-page book in, like, 3 days, so.
Yeah, it just depends.
Not to say that I'm better than anybody, but that's, like, everybody reads at their own pace, and if you're enjoying something, like, it's gonna obviously take you less amount of time to read it, so.
Exactly. And it, like, I'm just here to read books. Like, why are we policing how people read the books? I don't get it.
Also, how is this person verified? Who is this? And they have so many followers. What the F?
Do they? I didn't even look at that.
He has 78,000 followers on Threads.
Oh my god, he does.
Helping people read more books. Join 35,000 plus readers that get my best book recs and reading tips here.
This man looks so bland. I'm sorry. Oh my god.
How does he have 40,000 email subscribers?
I don't know. I was just looking at that. God. Okay, anyway. The next thing I have on my list, I think I told you about it. I texted you one night and I was like, oh my god. So one night I saw this video of someone talking about how there was some chick who read A Court of Sugar and Spice by who is the author of that book?
Rebecca, yes.
We'll put it in the notes.
Rebecca Kinney.
Thank you. And by the way, Dev, I would like to defend you and say that you found this book first, and you're the one who told me about it, and we read it ages ago.
I know. It did pretty well when I posted my review on Instagram. Like, it got a lot of engagement, and people were like, ooh, I'm interested.
Yeah. But the book is really fun. It's basically a Nutcracker retelling, but it's spicy, and the main character falls for the sugar plum fairy.
I'm obsessed.
It was such a good Christmas read or a holiday read. But so we read this like a year or two ago.
It's been a while.
But this Jackie past
has a whole series now. Like, it's past just
Court of Sugar. And each one is each one is a retelling of something different. So I think book 2 is a retelling of Alice in Wonderland, and book 3 is The Wizard of Oz. I haven't read book 2 or 3 yet.
I haven't either. I started book 2, but I haven't finished it.
Yeah. But anyway, so someone discovered it this past Christmas, and they reviewed it, and then reviewed A Court of Sugar with that, but it was obvious that she hadn't read it. and she was pretty much attacking like the author in the book. And then the author had to come on and say like, no, it's pretty obvious that you didn't read it. And here's why. And she outlined like why this girl was wrong. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. And then I realized it's Callie's reading. My notes for this are funny because I was like, wow, someone read Court of Sugar and Spice without having read it. And then in my notes, I'm like, oh my God, it was the book Wishlist Girl Callie's Reading. If you don't know, there was this girl, Callie's Reading a while ago, and I kind of missed this. So I think you saw it. So if you want to correct me, please do. But she had a bunch of people sent her books on her Amazon book wish list. Like she had gone through and requested these books and people sent them to her. And then she went through, I think, without reading them and like basically like said why she wasn't going to. Like people spent their money on these books for her. And then she just basically like dismissed them. I don't know. It was so weird.
I heard about this, but I don't think I saw the actual video of her doing that. I just heard about it.
I heard about it too, like yeah. Distantly. But anyway, it's that same girl. And basically she just went, she talked about A Court of Sugar and Spice. I think it like picked up traction this past Christmas. So I'm wondering if she did it for like views and clicks. But she basically said like, she claimed that there was like some kind of sexual abuse or like against her will and stuff like that. And the author was like, you obviously didn't read it because it's nothing like that. And I would never yeah. write a book like that. So I felt really bad for Rebecca because it's such a fun book and it deserves more love. And that was very dramatic. I was like, oh my God.
I looked through the TikTok videos that you have linked in our doc and I found Rebecca's
response. She made a response, yeah,
and then I clicked on the original video and it says video is unavailable.
It was available when I first looked at it, but
I'm trying to find her TikTok so I can look at. Oh, she still has it. Wow, she has 253,000 followers for talking about books that she doesn't read. That's wild.
Yeah, I know. I went on her profile after this all started and I was like, wow, you have a lot of followers. This is depressing.
Now I'm going to go through her account after we're done and look through all her stuff.
I feel like she's the source of a lot of book drama, too, that I see floating around. I don't know.
Sometimes I wonder if they actually...
I hear about it distantly, so I don't... Yeah, do you do this on purpose?
Yeah, I feel like sometimes it feels like they do it for the views, which, mm-hmm. like, no shame if that's what you're going to do, because you know that it gets views and you get people talking about you. Like, that's cool, too, but I want to know, like, what goes through people's minds sometimes, where I'm like...
I can't even imagine, like... I can't even imagine having the author having to respond and call me out like that. Like, I would just...
I would die. I would delete it. I'd be like,
I would yeet myself out of the country. Be like, I'm deleting all my socials. I'm going to go to...
You'd never see my face again.
Antarctica. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to change my name. I'm going to start a whole new life. Like, I... would be mortified.
Witness protection program. Bye.
If I ever got called out by one of my favorite authors or somebody just who's more popular than I am, I'd be like, I'm peace. Bye.
I become that Homer Simpson gif where he falls into the bushes like, no.
Yeah, or the gif of the kid who pieces out.
Oh, yeah, and like, he fades away. You just disappear.
Could not be me. I have had videos on my TikTok that get stitched by a few people, and even then I'm mortified. I'm like, oh my God, I need to delete my video. Like,
I'm sorry.
I know I always talk about being salty and like joke about like, oh, I don't go viral, but I don't think I would do well. Like, I don't think if one of my like videos went super viral, like my mental health would not be able to take it. I'd be like, delete, bye, private.
Yeah. Even if it's good, you're like, no, I can't.
Yeah. I'd be like, no, somebody said I was dumb. I'm not leaving.
Okay. On that note, switching gears, an author, Laurel M. Davis, is trying to sue and claim copyright over The Sun. This one was fun. I saw this book and it was about a girl who, I think this is Twitter drama, which came to TikTok and became TikTok drama. And I'm forgetting because it's been a while, but this author released a book and it had something to do with how this woman has her power is sourced from the sun. So she gets energy from the sun and it lets her have some kind of power. And then this other author chimed in and she was like, actually you can't do this. And she's trying to claim copyright because she has a character that does something similar or something. And it's just like ridiculous. Like the creator who they saw the video from is like, that's not like your idea. You didn't come up with harnessing energy from the sun. You can't trademark that. And then she goes on to say that she read the author's book who like is starting this beef. And she's like, it's actually really super racist and terrible. So yeah. Like you have other problems to worry about. So anyway, that was interesting.
Like my character harnesses energy from the sun. You can't do that. Like, haven't you ever heard of solar panels?
You mean the thing literal plants do in everyday like what? So that was wild. And then there was another thing that popped up on my feed, and it was I think it's a teenager. Like, he's a literal teen. It says on his profile, he's like, I don't know, I forget how old, like 16 or something, underage.
Oh, is this the motocross guy or the motorcycle guy?
Mm-hmm. And he rides a motorcycle or motocross or I don't know. And then BookTok found him, and all of these thirsty BookTok people were on like his profile and making comments that were very inappropriate for an underage person.
Yeah.
And that was made me physically uncomfortable.
Yeah, it gives me the ick.
And he doesn't know any better, so I think he was leaning into it because he's getting attention and he's like, yeah, cool, whatever. But like, you know, that's weird.
Yes. And I have a face that has always looked younger than I am, and I'm a very bad judgment of how old people are, and I'm always like, how old are these people? Like, this doesn't feel right. Like, what's going on? Like,
yeah,
you can tell kind of by like the vibes that somebody gives off usually, but that's just really icky. And I feel like it gives off the same type of vibes as like those moms on TikTok who post pictures like, AI showed my son when he's gonna be
yes older, I just saw that the other day.
I'm like, what?
I scrolled and I saw a video and it was this girl and it was a Celine Dion song. What was the song?
Yeah.
And she's and like, y'all need to see. Yeah. She's like, y'all need to see what people are using this sound for. So I was like, oh God. So I clicked on it and yeah, that's what popped up. And I was like, oh my God. What?
Yeah. It's like the same vibes as that video that went viral of the mom who's like wearing heels on the football field and like jumping the kids.
Yes.
The football player and like monkey.
Ooh, gives me the like, ick just thinking about it.
I get physically uncomfortable watching those. I'm like, I cannot. This is what world are we living in? Like,
and just like, I don't know, even if he was not underage and he was making these videos, like even if he was older, like, I don't know, like the way that people comment on videos sometimes, I just could never do myself.
I do not have the
audacity. Even if I think someone is hot or something, like I would never, I don't know, like I just appreciate it and I move on. You know what I mean?
I'm literally the same way. I don't comment on anything, even if what I want to comment on is like a question or I'm like, I can't. No, people can't know that I watched this video. People can't know that this is like, I just need to move on and do nothing and pretend like I don't exist.
Sometimes online. I like it and then I'll just move on and I don't comment. Yeah. Like, I don't understand. Could not be me. I don't know.
It's wild the things that people feel comfortable commenting on the internet. Like,
yeah. Some of the comments are just wild. I don't know. So that was icky and weird.
Yeah.
And then the new Crescent City book is out now, so this is kind of old, but as a teaser, Bloomsbury and SJM released a teaser from the third Crescent City book, and I guess there, I didn't look at it because I haven't read Crescent City and I'm trying not to spoil myself, but I guess there was a huge spoiler in it for the series. I think so. And everyone had an opinion about it there for a minute.
Did like, you link to the actual post on here?
I think I did.
I think they deleted it then. Because it goes to
really?
I was just wondering because I wanted to comment on the fact that they deleted it because everybody was losing their minds. But I don't know if that's true or not because I am not logged in on my desktop. And I didn't see it when it went when it was posted, so I don't know.
Oh, no, it's this one. Here, I can send you the link.
Okay.
I just read it, so I just spoiled myself.
No! I'm sorry!
It's something I knew already anyway. This book has been out too long, so I can't avoid the spoilers completely.
It's from book two.
I think it's spoiling. Well, I don't want to give the spoiler. I don't know.
Hold on, let me see. I'll tell you. I can confirm. I haven't read book three, but I've read the first two. Oh yeah, that's big.
I kind of knew that I was already spoiled about this, so. But anyway, everyone was like, they shouldn't be spoiling. And then other people were like, it's been out for over a year, I think, at this point. So, like, and they're the publisher and the author. So, like, they can do whatever they want. And there was a bunch of discord about it. So, I don't really know how I feel, but.
I don't know either. Because on one side, you always want to keep things as exciting as you can for people who are just finding out about the series. Like, there's always going to be new readers, there's always going to be new people who haven't seen stuff. But at the same time, like, I don't know what I think a good amount of time to wait before things get out
is. Yeah. Because, like, it's been literal years for me, and I still haven't read the series, so.
Yeah. Because, like, for example, Naruto has been out for, like, literal decades, and I was never a Naruto fan. And for whatever reason, I just had never seen any spoilers for that show before I watched it. And so I was careful about not spoiling anything because, obviously, I don't expect people who have watched the show literally for decades, who have been fans, to cater to me because I haven't seen it. It's been literally decades. The show has been over for multiple years. So, and the manga is written. Like, I don't know why people would be upset. But at the same time, that's obviously not as long as this series has been out. So I don't know what the...
Yeah, I was going to say...
Like, the average timeline of spoiler-free posts would be.
After a certain amount of time, I feel like the responsibility shifts to the reader to avoid. Like, if you know that's something that you want to read, then that's your responsibility to, like me, Crescent City has been out for a while, so it's my problem that I'm seeing spoilers now. But also, I don't know, like, book two hasn't been out. The only thing I feel really comfortable spoiling is, like, City of Bones, because that came out, like, 15 years ago.
It's been decades. That's the thing, is that, like, Are we cool with spoiling something after, like, the decade? Like, is it 10 years or is it this time? I don't know the answer.
We need to give a decade grace period.
I think we should do a poll. I think we'll do a poll once this episode is out and we can put it in Instagram or TikTok or something and ask people, like, average it out. Yeah, we can average out what everybody's opinion is and just start, like, the new 15-minute rule, but for books. Like, when is
But it's a decade.
But it's 10 years.
But it's 10 years.
Because I know that I have spoiled some stuff for myself with series I start reading because
sometimes I do it on purpose. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Fan art gets me.
I don't purposely do it, but usually what happens is I look up fan art and I see something and I'm like, oh, who's that? Or, like, wait, what? And I, like, immediately close out of whatever I was looking at and then start making my own opinions, and then I usually am wrong. But I don't think I've ever been spoiled, like, too badly to the point where, like, I couldn't enjoy it. Like, I've always been able to have
me too
an enjoyable experience even though stuff has been spoiled for me.
The compromise I like is most of the people that I follow on Instagram and stuff put warnings. Like, they're like, okay, spoilers, this post has spoilers in it, which I always really appreciate, and I feel like that's a good compromise. But I don't know.
So too. I actually think that they could have easily just put up a slide before and said, spoiler quote from Crescent City 3 on the next slide. And people would easily swipe. They know that people are going to swipe for that. Like, there's no need to have it on one slide.
I don't know. Like, I get what they were trying to do. but it's hard for me to talk about without actually talking about the post. But yeah,
it was such a big deal for me. Like, I read book two, and at the end of the book, I literally gasped. Like, my jaw dropped to the floor, and I was like,
someone else spoiled the spoiler for me, and I audibly made a sound when I found out about it.
I remember when the second book came out, or no, right before the second book came out, the few lucky people who got arcs for it spoiled the last page for everybody.
Oh, yeah. Or
something like that. So this has been going on. Like, some people are just inconsiderate and don't care. And
I forgot about that.
Why would you post this before the book comes out? Like, literally nobody has
read it. This is literally the biggest spoiler ever.
It was I'm glad that I didn't see the spoiler before it came out, because I feel like I would not have had as much fun.
I am kind of bummed that I know about it going into it.
Because I went into that book, like, with my spy glasses on, and I was like, what's going to happen? What am I hoping for? Like, what am I looking for? And then if I would have known, like, all of the things that happen, I would have just been like, okay, I'm good.
I'm already having a hard time reading this series, so I feel like knowing is not going to help me at all. But anyway, so there's that. What else do I have on here? Oh, I'm sure everybody has heard about this by now, but this woman went on TikTok. Her name is Holly. Someone went on TikTok, and she basically made a whole video about how, like, people are putting too much pressure on her to read diversely, and, you know, she doesn't want to put in that much work to what she reads, and it's too much, and, you know, she just wants to, when she reads, she just wants to escape, and she makes a point, she even says something about how most of the country is white anyway, so, like, obviously most of the authors are going to be white too or something. I don't know. It was ridiculous and just generally terrible. So that was not fun. And then her sister came on and made a video. I've heard secondhand that her sister came on and made a video defending her, but I have not been able to find said video. So take that with a grain of salt, but lots of drama there. I feel
like every once in a while, somebody will come onto TikTok with a hot take that they think is a hot take, but is actually just them being racist.
Yes.
And it's something like this, where it's something like, why can't we all just read what we want to read? Why can't we all just, like, read for fun? Who cares what kind of books that I want to read?
Literally,
like,
yeah.
It's fantasy. It's fiction. Like, it's not real. Like, who cares? And everybody comes after them. Like, it's like a cycle of, like, mm-hmm. just a random person who's like, I'm gonna read what I want because I don't care what you say. Like, okay, we're not telling you not to read what you want, we're just telling you, like, maybe, like, add a few different books from people.
Maybe, like, you should pay attention, you know, maybe these people have been underrepresented for so long and you should, like, maybe help them out and pay some attention.
My favorite argument to this whole thing always, like, I know it's not new, but it just always comes up, is when people say, like, I just don't relate to these characters, like, I can't read this because I don't relate, and people are like, you literally read books,
but you're not gonna
fairies
sit
and ghosts and monsters. How do you relate to a 500 year old fey lord who has bat wings and magical powers,
who's a, like, fated mate to some, I don't know, human chick
was imprisoned underground for thousands of years? Like, you've never had that happen to you, but you relate to the, how are you gonna relate to the poor peasant girl who has to go hunting for her family because they don't have food? Like, you can't relate to that, but you still enjoy it. Like, those are my favorite comments.
And you're, like, also not gonna sit at all with why you don't relate. Like, you're not gonna, like,
you relate to the
look
girl,
at that at all.
You relate to the girl who's milking minotaurs for work. Like, okay,
the one who's who's, I was gonna make a wolfman joke, but I lost it. I don't know.
You relate to the girl
who's dating a literal wolfman,
who goes to live in a trailer full of bears, shifters. Okay.
I don't
got it.
Read diversely, everybody. Just stop, please. Please don't feel the need to make a video defending why you're a racist.
also read what you want. Like, I'm not telling you not to read what you want. Just like, don't tell everybody that you're not going to read that.
Put in a little, like, it's not hard. Like, yeah, there are people of color who have written awesome fantasy books and romance books and contemporary books and like just, I don't know.
And we have really good cultural, like, fantasy stuff too, mythology and all of that stuff. Like, La Llorona is literally one of the best horror stories ever. And there are so many books about it. And I don't think anybody actually knows that those exist. Like, those are good horror. Like, we have mythical gods too and all of that cool stuff. Like, go read some.
I don't know. The thing about, like, most of the population in America is white anyway, so, like, why, so obviously the authors are, which just brings up how the publishing the publishing industry doesn't give these people enough representation that they deserve, and it's just infuriating. It's just,
I want to see a study done where, I don't know if this actually exists, like, let me know if somebody's already tried this, but, like, where they have an author of color write a book, but instead of trying to market it as like, oh, this is a author of color, this is like, you know, like a BIPOC book, whatever, they just market it as like, ooh, something like Sarah J. Maas, because that's like, you know, the keynote, like
that's the thing people
something
say
like
now,
Cassandra
yeah.
Clare, something like SJM, something like
for lovers of ACOTAR. Yeah.
And the person just has, like, a generic name, and they're like, here's what the book is about, here's this generic name, here's what this person wrote, and, like, see what the reception is before you find out who wrote it, and, like, now we can just prove, like, y'all are racist, because you read it before.
Yeah. What's the problem? I'm thinking about Argyle. I don't know if you saw that, because Argyle is a movie. I have not seen it, but there is a book, Argyle. And then I found a video on TikTok that claimed, and it was this kind of unhinged take about why they thought that Argyle, the book, was written by Taylor Swift. And she's like, here's all the proof.
Yeah.
And I'm just imagining that, like, all of these people think it's Taylor Swift now, but the reveal is that it was written by a BIPOC author or something.
Yeah. That would be honestly epic. Do you remember when Simon & Schuster, Bloomsbury, I don't know, one of the big publishers, like, soft-released a memoir or some type of fiction book, or nonfiction book that people were going crazy about because they thought it was going to be, like, a Taylor Swift autobiography or, like, a something, right? And people were, like, pre-ordering it without having any knowledge other than, like, this person or this blah, blah, blah,
was this BTS?
Whatever. Yeah, and it ended up being a BTS book.
Book,
and
yeah.
I pre-ordered it thinking that was going to be like a Taylor Swift autobiography, and it was a BTS something. And so all of the fandoms were like, ooh, what is it going to be? Like, I bet it's this, I bet it's that. And they like sold out all of the pre-orders even before a cover was revealed, even before the official blurb was out.
I forgot about that.
Even before everything was out and nobody knew about it. Like, so they should do viral moments like that for
mystery.
Yeah, like, yeah. Ooh, this is about whatever, and like talk about it the way that they talked about that, and people would like pre-order that and it would go viral, and you'd be like, see, you're actively not wanting to read these authors, like,
yeah,
you bought
proof.
It knowing that this is gonna be a good story,
maybe only. Do some internal reflection. And then the last thing I have for January is what was the author? The creepy, I said, creepy big name author man asking women to get practically naked for a book promotion. J.D. Barker. I had not heard of this man before this discourse started. But apparently he is a pretty big deal, and he's written a bunch of books and he's popular. I don't know. I had never heard of him, but it came out I saw it first on Threads, and it even affected one of our friends. They reached out and asked them to promote his new book called Behind a Closed Door, and basically gave a bunch of ideas for TikTok videos, and all of them revolved around like being naked, but then covering your naughty bits, quote unquote.
Yeah, it was icky.
with the new book, and I don't know, and it was very inappropriate and weird, and everyone was like, this is not cool. And then he came out and issued an apology that was not really, basically it was like, sorry I got caught kind of thing. And
said it was a PR cringe. Team that did
oh that's
it
right
my knowledge, and like if I would have known I would have said no to this.
I wouldn't have said yeah,
like people are like, you own this PR
team. I was just going to say, and then I heard that he owned the PR team. So, like, really? Yeah. Tell me you have no women on your team without telling me.
That was my main comment. Like, after I read everything, I was like, either there's no women on this team, or they got overruled, or
something
fishy is going on. Because there's no lady in their right mind who is going to be like, this is a good idea.
Oh, yeah, this is completely fine.
Let's ask people for nudes. Yeah.
What the F? So anyway, that was cringy and gross, and I feel very sorry for anyone who was affected by this.
The other thing that people were saying is that, at least the people who got the emails, was that there was a stipulation at the end that said the videos had to be sent to him for prior approval.
And oh, yeah.
If he didn't like them, they weren't going to get paid. So it was like, oh, get paid for your videos, but you have to get them approved first. And if I don't find it acceptable, like, we're not going to give you the money, even though you made the video. And people were like, that's suspicious.
Your PR team said that?
Like, what? Okay.
So weird. And then something I saw recently, this is February book drama stuff. Actually, knock on wood, I so far have not heard as much book drama as I did last month. I don't know if maybe I stopped looking for it, but a video came up, and there was a small business who does sprayed edges for books. And they didn't want to pay the authors for licensing. And they said that buying the book was them giving them money. Like, they shouldn't have to pay licensing on top of that. And everyone's like, what? That's not how it works. Yeah. You buying the book is not the same. Like, no. So that was interesting. I haven't checked that drama in a while. I don't know if they like deleted the video or what.
I think they did, because it's saying unavailable.
Oh yeah, unavailable. But yeah, it was her going on and like basically defending why she shouldn't have to pay licensing to authors. So that was a hot take. And then the last one is one that personally really gets under my skin, because it has to do with AI art. Tor is out here being lazy as fuck and using AI for their book covers now, I guess, which is what I wrote. A creator I follow called out the Gothicana book, and she's like, this is AI art, and here's how I know. And she basically breaks down how you can catch AI art and, why she thought it was. And she said that Tor has been through this before. So Fractal Noise by Christopher Paolini. Mm-hmm. It came out that the cover for that book was AI. And then
isn't that Tor, the guy who wrote Aragorn?
I think so, yeah. I didn't even know he wrote anything. Fractal Noise is the second, I think it's the second book in a series that I didn't know existed until all of this drama came out. But I guess someone caught Tor using AI art for Fractal Noise, and then Tor was like, oh, sorry, it's too late in the printing process. We can't take it back now, so this is the cover. Oops. So this creator called out Gothicana and was like, this is also AI art, and here's how I know. And then I saw a video after that, and it's her saying, yeah, this is definitely AI art now, because I found the original images that this came out of, and it's AI. It says it's from Adobe Stock, and it says like AI generated flower, AI generated gate.
Yeah.
And it's literally the exact same. So
that's wild to me.
And it really grinds my gears, because I'm a graphic designer who has used Adobe Stock before. And I know for a fact that you can filter out AI images. There's a filter option that lets you take those out. So like, they're not even trying. They're not even trying to avoid it. They're just like, whatever.
That is insane to me. And like,
You are Tor publishing. Like, Pay an effing artist.
I was going to say, like, even if you find something on stock that you think is good, like, there is no reason that you can't just go to your graphic designer and be like, hey, can you recreate this? Like, can you recreate
literally
this gate? Like, draw
it. We love the look of this flower. Can you do this?
This is your inspiration. Like, that, to me, is how they should be using AI and not necessarily just using it to create content that they can use and, like, put places. Like, I am all for small influencers or small creators being able to, like, do fun things on their computer now. But, like, businesses have the means.
Be responsible.
To be, yeah, responsible and moral and to hire people who do this for a living and mm-hmm. say, okay, I'm not a designer. I'm not an artist. But, like, I like this style. Can you do something with
exactly.
this? Like, or find something that we can responsibly source that looks like this. Like,
yeah. Also, it really grinds my gears too, because as a designer, like, if you're going to choose to do that, which is a problem in and of itself, but if you're going to do that, at least be good about, like, at least be sneaky about it. Like, she was zooming in on the gate and stuff, and I was like, oh yeah, this is totally AI, because, like, AI isn't good at details. So, like, the gate had all of these, like, imperfections, and, like, it should have been the same on both sides of the gate, and it wasn't. And it was just like, go in and touch that up. Like, be better, at least be sneakier, be better about being sneaky about it or something. I don't know. It was just so weird.
Yeah. Like, you literally do not have money.
This is just sloppy.
A graphic designer who can't go in and edit the photo for you. Is that what you're telling me?
I don't get it. I don't know. Like, did an intern do this? I don't know.
I'm
anyway.
Not a designer, but I understand. I'm the first person to say it, and you know I always say it, and I'm like,
you do,
I don't know what I'm doing. I said, here's my ideas. Do it for me. I'm not a professional.
That's what I'm here for. But anyway, that really got me going. That was my, I commented that too on the video. I was very proud of myself. And I was like, I know that Adobe Stock has a filter option that lets you take out the AI images too. And it was my most liked comment ever on TikTok.
So. I also don't get, like, if you're thinking logically, at least this is my logic. I don't know. People can disagree. But covers sell books. Like, that's the whole phrase. Don't judge a book by its cover, because covers are the first thing you see, right? And I feel like the ones that have, like, the intricate designs that are, like, super beautiful and, like, interesting to look at are always the ones that I'm interested in. So mm-hmm. you would think that they would invest time. Like, if you're going to cut corners, like, it's not going to be on the cover. Like, you should invest the time on the cover, because that's what's going to also sell your book. Like,
right.
if I'm shopping through Target and I see, like, this super, like, especially Gothicana that has, like, that dark presence, like, I've never read it, but that's what it, like,
yeah, I don't even know what it's about.
They're marketing it as, like, I think dark academia,
like a dark romance academia thing. Yeah,
like, just imagine, like, a matte black with, like, some shiny bits on it.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
And, like, I don't know, like, graphic, like, there's just so many options that you could have done that, like, could have made it so much better without using AI. Like,
it's And it's weird to me, too, because it's obvious that they wanted this book to be a thing. Like, it's obvious that, I don't know, from the cover that they did make, and it has sprayed edges, and the marketing that I've seen floating around about it. Like, you obviously wanted this book to be a thing, and you couldn't have bothered to, like, pay an actual artist to do the cover for it.
Yeah, it's wild to me. I had a thought, and I lost it. I don't remember what I was going to say.
Wild. Anyway, that was the last of my list. That's all of the book drama that I have encountered on my wanderings through TikTok and Threads.
I feel good about myself that I think the reason why I've heard about most of this stuff is though you've already told me.
Yeah, I think
I don't think
whenever I find something now, I'm like, oh my god, this will be great for the podcast.
But
it's wild. Like, I don't know if this was happening the entire time and I just wasn't looking for it, but I'm like seeing book drama all the time now, and I don't know if, like, maybe it's always been there and I just wasn't paying attention, but now I am.
The only one that I can add to the list, which is not new book drama, it's old book drama that's continuous, but I find it super funny because I'm like, this is still going on. Like, people haven't learned their lesson. is
they never knew.
The bookish box and how like people have canceled them because like the quality and all the issues that have happened.
Oh yeah, you sent that video and I was like, I've seen this.
So the bookish about box it. Is still around. Like people are still working with the bookish box. People are still buying the bookish box even after all of those
lots of claims about some shady happenings at bookish box.
Claims again, I can only support so many things. Like, I haven't looked into it. I've never purchased anything from the bookish box, even though I was going to. So my personal experience is that I was gonna get the Neon Gods bookish box covers because I thought they were so beautiful. Like
the they were really pretty,
the shiny. I was like, these things are so cute, I want them. So I ended up ordering, I think, two, because I couldn't get one of the three that they had because it was sold out. And they were supposed to be sent out in, like, a specific period of time. And after a few months, I was like, I haven't heard about my books lately.
Oh,
like,
yeah. What happened with that?
Yeah. And they have, like, a place on their website that has updates on all of the things. And they were like, oh, yeah, sorry, this is late. Dude, you would think that, like, you would send emails out, though. But, like, they literally didn't send any emails out. So, like, they were supposed to be delivered at some point in time a few months after they went back up on sale, and they just didn't. Like, they just kept pushing back the time that those books were going to be done and sent out to the people who purchased them. And I was like, it's been 6 months. Like, it's been a really long time.
That's
like,
weird.
I
yeah,
I don't.
And they didn't, did they say anymore. Why
I honestly don't remember. I would have to go back in my emails and check what was going on.
I mean, like, that's weird regardless, but yeah.
But I had to, and there's no easy way to cancel on their website. You literally have to go and
of course.
Send them an email and say, like,
can I hate that
order or whatever. So I had to send an email to their customer service and say, like, hey, I don't want this
it's
anymore.
Been it's been too long. Please like, stop.
Yeah. And luckily they said it was fine. I got my money back, but I think that they purposely make it hard for you to cancel or 100% because they don't want to. But then, like, after that happened, all of the other drama about, like, nobody quality checks their books because they printed books with, like, upside down pages or whatever, or, like, mm-hmm. they printed the spines on a certain series. I want to say it was the Twilight books, but I'm not 100% sure. Maybe it was something else. But they printed books in a series with the wrong numbers. They used Roman numeral numbers on the books. And they put
oh the yeah, Roman I kind of remember that
incorrectly. Like, there were just so many errors with the books themselves, like the quality mm-hmm. of the stuff that they were sending to people, that they had to put out a statement about how they're so sorry that their next few releases are going to take longer because they have to hire quality control people and they want the best books, and that's why everything's going to take so much longer now. But they were still announcing new books even though they hadn't fixed the issues with their old books.
Mm-hmm.
And then people were coming out who used to work for them saying, like, oh, they have really bad a work environment.
I was gonna say, yeah, I've heard shady stuff.
I cannot confirm or deny that, but people had come out saying a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, so like their work hours and how they were compensated was unfair and like stuff like that.
How the owners worked and how, like, you know, there was just a lot of stuff that people were claiming. Again, I cannot confirm or deny, but that's what was coming out around all of the same time. So they had a lot of issues. And so mm-hmm. I just assumed that they were dead. But they're not, because the other day I saw somebody unboxing a bookish box, and she was like, I know I'm a clown for getting these still, but I want to support my author friends who are working with them.
So yeah, she knew the authors or something who had books coming out with them, and she that's who she wanted to support. Yeah,
and so she was like, I'm supporting my friends, but we're going to open this and talk about, like,
let's see if it's worth what it says it is.
Yeah, and so she's pulling out these things, which is, okay, so now we're at the latest book talk drama. So she's pulling out these items, these special items that come in the box, and she's like, you can get these on Amazon for, like, $1.99. She's like,
yeah.
This clear tin with, like, these random flags, book flags, like,
$5. And they claim, that they're, it's, like, $20, or I forget what she says.
No, she says that they claimed all of that stuff was $100, like, 100 or more for, like,
ridiculous.
The tin, the book flags, there were, like, book stickies, like, sticky tabs.
Also, wasn't the cover trash? Like, didn't it look terrible?
Yeah, and she was like, why? They went 0 to 100. She was like, I want this pretty book, I want this design, and then people were complaining that it was, like, too much, so they were like, we're giving you nothing. The book cover
was it was, like, super simple and weird.
Yeah. And so that's the latest in the bookish box drama, is that they're now buying all of their special items. Allegedly, she was able to find ones that look similar, who knows, on Amazon. Well, I'll link the video out, but like, I'm not saying that that's what they did. I'm just saying that
her video was funny.
Yeah, I'm not saying that's what they did. I'm just saying there's a TikTok video that says that's what they did.
Claims. I will say that I did purchase the From Blood and Ash. They first released the trilogy of the first three, I think, and I bought those without – that was before I knew any of this was going on. So I bought those, and ever since then, I've been trying to steer very clear.
Yes. But I think there was also
– I didn't have any personal problems. Like, oh, yeah. I remember her saying something about working with them.
Yeah, about the – because they were lying about all of the books being signed. And that people found out that it was going to be a stamp signature. And they were like, you said that all of your books were going to be signed. And they were like, no, we didn't. We just said like,
I felt bad for her because she had to go on and apologize. And it wasn't really her fault.
Yeah. And she had to like clear up the air and say like, you know, I don't write these contracts. Like I am obligated to do whatever these contracts say because I am a published author through like a publisher. Mm-hmm. And so I was contracted to do X, Y, and Z. And she was like, I never agreed to sign all of these because I have, mobility issues. Like she has,
there's disability. A, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she was like, I have trouble writing for a long period of time. Like I can't use my hands because of it. Like they were always going to be stamped. Like this is not new. Like, and I apologize if it was like misconstrued or like you did not get the right information.
Misrepresented or whatever.
Like, yeah. But like the bookish box was like, oh no, sorry. We didn't mean everything was going to be signed. Like only the first book or whatever.
Whoops.
People were like, you said all of the books were going to be signed, not hand stamped. And so it was like a whole thing. But anyway,
I forgot about that.
This has led Loretta and I to decide to have like a whole bookish box discussion.
Yeah, we will be talking about subscription boxes specifically in an episode soonish.
Yes. So I'm a sucker. You can see some of my special editions right here. I'm a sucker for special edition books.
I mean, I don't want to go off on a tangent, but
we will be talking about that.
They suck you
soon.
In. Yeah, it's a whole toxic thing.
But I'm glad I could add at least one thing to our book drama.
You did, yeah. It wasn't all just me word vomiting. You know, let us know if we missed anything or if we got anything wrong.
Yeah.
Give us updates if you have them. Like, yeah. I don't know. This was just me scrolling through TikTok and writing things down. So,
yes. Also, if you like this, like if you like us recapping anything, you can also send us stuff on Instagram or wherever.
Anything you want us to talk about.
Hey, talk about this. Don't forget to mention this drama where our inboxes are open.
Did y'all see this? Like, please feel free.
Yes, we'll add in our thoughts. But in other news, before we sign off, we are reading The Last Tale of the Flower Bride by Roshni Chokshi. I think that's how you say it.
Chokshi.
This month for our book club. So don't forget to join our Discord. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram. Join us because we will be having an episode next month on that and if we liked it or not. But yeah, that's my only
You'll get the whole breakdown
for today.
And you'll get to vote if you join us on Discord. You'll get to vote on the next one that we read.
Yeah. And we also Give talk us about suggestions. Other stuff like video games and music and movies and all
random
the things,
stuff.
So
yeah.
Come have fun with us.
Yay. Find us on social media at Emo Girls Guide on everything.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
We're on TikTok, Threads, Instagram.
We're posting on YouTube now.
We have X, formerly known as Twitter, but we don't use it. It's just there because we don't support Elon Musk.
It's a placeholder. Yeah. No one will get the Emo Girls Guide handle, but we are not on there anymore.
And I guess Facebook. We don't really do much on Facebook either. Anyway, we're there. Find us. Come hang out with us. We're fun. We think we're fun.
We think we're fun, yeah. I have fun with us.
And until next time, we hope your day is filled with main character energy.
Main character energy.
Woo. Okay, bye.